Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 18. We are in the midst of a sermon series on the book of Revelation, and this morning we find ourselves in the middle of chapter 18. But for the sake of context this morning, I'm going to read the first eight verses as well, starting at verse 1. And reading all the way through verse 20 of Revelation 18. Keep in mind that in your bulletins is an outline of this morning's message. Included in that outline is some structural things which will help you follow along as you listen to this morning's message. And as the word is proclaimed, reminder that last year's sermon was on Heaven's Memorial Day. And this year's Memorial Day sermon is on Babylon's Memorial Day, the contrast in the two kingdoms described here in Revelation 18. Let us pay attention to the public reading of God's Word as we find it in Revelation 18, beginning at verse 1. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority. And the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, 'I sit as queen, I am not a widow, and I will never mourn.' Therefore in one day her plagues will overtake her, death and mourning and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her." When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, "Woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power! In 1 hour your doom has come." The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble. Cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh, and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies and souls of men. They will say, "The fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered." The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, "Woe, woe, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour such great wealth has been brought to ruin." Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea, will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, "Was there ever a city like this great city?" They will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, "Woe, woe, O great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour she has been brought to ruin." Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she treated you. Thus the reading of God's word this morning, as we find it in Revelation chapter 18, the verses 1 through 20. There is much talk in the news nowadays about the world's financial crisis. Perhaps you've seen the pictures of the rioting in Greece and read about the European bailout of that nation and other nations which may be in the same situation soon. Perhaps you've heard the predictions that this is only a temporary fix, and perhaps the entire European economic system could collapse. There are many who predict that the Greek crisis is only a smaller scale of what may be in store for perhaps our own nation. These predictors point out that the debt of the United States, some $13 trillion, has reached epic proportions, that it's too big to ever think that our nation could ever pay it back. And what's more, the nation and the world may be on the course for economic collapse in the coming years. No one knows if this will happen. But the doomsday scenario is this, that the debt would become so large that the U.S. dollar would collapse, that the money people have in the bank or perhaps in their pockets becomes nothing but the piece of paper that it's printed on. And if that happens, how does anyone buy what they need? How do people who are hungry buy food without money? This could lead to rioting in the streets and pave the way for an aggressive leader to take control of the streets and the lives of the citizens. Would this scenario happen? No one knows. But did you know that the Bible speaks of such things? Our text this morning is divided up into three parts. The first part is verses 9 through 11. The second part is verses 11 through 17a. And the last part is verses 17b through verse 20. As you can see from your outlines this morning, each section is connected together by the vocabulary. In verses 9 and 10, we are told about the kings of the earth. The kings of the earth, we are told, are weeping and mourning at Babylon's defeat. We are told that they stand far off from her and her judgment. We are told they cry out, "Woe, woe, O great city," in verse 10. We are told that they describe Babylon's doom as 1 hour period of time. In verse 15, we are told of the second section and the merchants of the earth. They do the same thing as the kings. They stand far off. They weep and mourn. They cry out, "Woe, woe, O great city." And we are told that Babylon's doom was in 1 hour. In the third section, the same language is described concerning the sea captains who mourn Babylon's demise. These sea captains, these seafarers, also, we're told, weep and mourn. We're told that they stand afar off and they cry out, "Woe, woe, O great city." And they declare Babylon's doom in 1 hour. All three of these sections are connected together by their vocabulary. We know that all three are connected. We know that all three are similar. But what does it mean? The city of woe we have described as Babylon the Great. In the first part of the chapter, those verses I read to you at the beginning of the scripture reading, the description of Babylon the Great is given. The angel from heaven calls out, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." She is described as a place of demons, a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird, and the nations of the world are drunk on her. She has seduced them. She has made them drunk on the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth have made union with her, committing immorality with her. The merchants of the earth have grown rich on her excessive luxuries and prosperity. This culture, this city of man, is going to fall. God is going to destroy this culture, this Babylon the Great, this seductive prostitute described in chapter 17 as sitting over all the nations of the world. She is going to be completely destroyed, God's angel declares, for her sins have been piled up to heaven, and she will be burned with fire. God calls the people of God in verse 4 through his angel, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues." And yet, as this judgment is described in the first part of the chapter, as the day of judgment when the plagues of God will overtake her, where she will be filled with death and mourning and famine and consumed with fire, and God judges her, there are those upon the earth who will mourn her. Those from every category of life. Whether they are kings, whether they are merchants, or whether they are seafarers or those who work for the merchants and serve the purpose of serving them and ultimately Babylon the Great. This city, Babylon the Great, is going to be destroyed. And the kings of the earth, the merchants of the earth, and the seafarers, the workers of the earth, will mourn her loss. Why? What are they mourning? Verse 9 tells us about the kings of the earth. These kings of the earth who have committed sexual immorality with her, who have been seduced by her lust, who have been drawn into her and have worked with her in terms of controlling the people and tempting them with the luxuries and all the things that the world has to offer, they mourn her. They see her burning. They see that God has destroyed her, and they weep and they mourn over her. They are terrified. They keep their distance from her judgment. Yet as they look at her, they are weeping and mourning because they have lost their ability to control the people. They have lost their power with her death. And instead of recognizing that this is the judgment of God, instead of recognizing that there is a far better place than this world, that there are far greater things than enjoying the power and prestige of this world, instead of looking unto God, they mourn her loss. They stand afar off, and the text tells us, the angel tells us, what is being said in their hearts. "Woe, woe, O great city," they cry. "O Babylon, city of power," or mighty city, as some of your translations describe it. This mighty city, the power they have obtained through her, has been destroyed. And in 1 hour they declare, "Your doom has come." God has destroyed her, and they mourn. But it's not just the kings and the rulers that mourn. We're told in verse 11 that there are the merchants of the earth. The merchants of the earth, we're told in verse 11, also are weeping and mourning over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Following that first verse in verse 11 is a description of the various cargoes of the earth. First description is of the precious metals, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, and the pearls. Then you have the clothing, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth. Then you have the building materials, the citron wood, the ivory, the costly wood, the bronze, iron, and the marble. Then we have the spices and perfumes, the cinnamon, the spice, the incense, the myrrh, the frankincense. Then we have the food, the wine, the olive oil, the fine flour, the wheat, and the cattle and the sheep, the animals and the horses and the carriages and men's bodies. And the souls of men. 28 things are described. 4 times 7. 28 things describing the entire context of wealth and things that would be worth anything in this world. All of them are listed. All of them are described. And the merchants of the earth are weeping and mourning because of the collapse of Babylon the Great. There is no one to buy their cargoes anymore. And we're told in verse 14 that they have discovered something. They will say, "The fruit you longed for is gone from you." The fruit, some of your translations, which I think rightly include the word soul. The fruit that your souls longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered. What the angel is describing for us is those who have lived their lives in this world, pursuing the passions and the luxuries of this world. They have a completely earthly focus. They build their lives upon what they can obtain, upon wealth, upon serving this world and living for the things in this world. And on that day when God destroys Babylon the Great, when He destroys the wicked and ungodly culture of this world, they will know, they will say, and recognize the fruit that they have longed for in their soul, not after God, after the things of this world, is gone. And all their riches and the world's splendor that they have spent their life seeking to obtain has vanished and will never be recovered. And the merchants, instead of recognizing that this world is not the end of things, instead of recognizing that there must be a God, that there must be a Savior, that God will send to the world to save them. And instead of seeking and turning to God's Word, they mourn, verse 15, they mourn their loss of wealth. These merchants who sold these things, verse 15, and gained their wealth from her will again stand far off. They will be terrified at her torment, and they will weep and mourn. Weeping and mourning the loss of their wealth. Weeping and mourning the loss of the culture and the things of this world that they have ever sought to pursue. And they will cry out in their hearts, "Woe, woe, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold and precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour, such wealth has been brought to complete ruin." So we have the kings of the earth mourning their loss of power being described. We have the merchants of the earth mourning their loss of wealth and earthly possessions, that it's been all destroyed. And then finally in the third section, we have the sea captain, verse 17b. The sea captain and those who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea. It is those who serve the merchants, whether it be by transportation, whether it be by buying and selling, whatever means of making a living it might be, they are represented here. They also stand far off. When they see the smoke of Babylon the Great burning, they exclaim, "Was there ever a city like this great city?" They have nothing to compare it to, only cities and cultures of the earth. They throw dust on their heads as a sign of mourning. They weep, we're told, and they mourn, and their hearts also cry out, "Woe, woe, O great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth, and in 1 hour she also has been brought to ruin." Three sections in our text, three descriptions of mourning, three categories, each covering the full scope of mankind. The kings of the earth representing the earthly nations and their power. The merchants of the earth representing the wealth and prosperity of the earth and those who have pursued it. The sea captains and the seafarers representing the working people of this world. All doing the same thing once God's judgment is poured out. They are weeping and mourning. They cry out, "Woe, woe, O great city." And they are awed that in 1 hour, that culture, that nation has been brought to ruin and destruction. This is Babylon's Memorial Day. And on this day, she is remembered. She is remembered for kings because of what she had given them, they have no more. She is remembered by merchants because what she had given them is no more. She is remembered by working people and seafarers. They are all weeping because what she gave them, they have no more. And in their hearts, they are weeping and mourning her. They do not know what to do. They do not know where to look or who to focus for deliverance. They have ever been seduced by her luxury, and now she is dead. They have invested their lives in this world, seeking to obtain worldly things. And when it falls apart for them, they've got nowhere to turn. Think of how this has played out in the history of the world on smaller scales. As Adolf Hitler's Germany was collapsing around him, as the Allied armies were closing in and the nation was being destroyed, and he lost the power of his army and to govern. In despair, he mourned and committed suicide. During the Great Depression in the 1920s and early 1930s, as the stock market crashed and businessmen lost millions and thousands and their fortunes, as farmers were losing their family farms that they had worked their whole lives to secure and to obtain, the businessmen jumped from buildings and farmers went into barns and hung themselves, mourning her loss. Even today, when a working person loses their job, There are many people who fall into despair, and instead of turning to God, out of pity, seek to kill or destroy themselves. This is mourning Babylon's loss. These are those who mourn her loss on Babylon's Memorial Day. But remember what God said in our text. Remember what God said in verse 4 concerning His church and concerning His people. In verse 4, the angel heard the voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, so you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues." And as God brings His destruction on Babylon the Great, as God brings His destruction on this prostitute who is over all the peoples of the world and has seduced them into immorality and pursuit of the things of this world, instead of mourning as the kings and the merchants and the seafarers of the earth, in verse 20 we're told what they should do. "Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she has treated you." This Babylon the Great, who has seduced the people, who has caused the peoples of the earth to turn against Christ and the church of Jesus Christ, they are given their just due. And God has judged Babylon. God is going to judge her followers. And instead of mourning the lost things of this world that they have ever so sought to pursue, the peoples of this world, the saints of God will rejoice. They will rejoice over her, for they have the kingdom of heaven. The saints and the apostles and prophets in heaven will rejoice over God's just judgment. They will rejoice that the words of our Savior have come true. "In my house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Because the focus of God's people is not on the wealth or the pursuit of pleasure in this world, they are not in desperation and mourning over Babylon's loss on Babylon's Memorial Day. Instead, they rejoice in the kingdom of God. They rejoice in the victory of the kingdom of God and the justice of the kingdom of God and our Savior who has saved them and has brought them to eternal life. You think the things that this earth has to offer you are great? You think the cargoes described in the middle of this chapter in verses 12 through 13 are things that you'd like to have? Are things that you would like to pursue? Are things that you would die to hold on to and give your life to serve or to obtain and devote all your soul to obtaining them? Listen to what the merchants say again in verse 14. "The fruit your soul longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered." In the eyes of God, in the eyes of the kingdom of God, all of those earthly things that people have sought to obtain are going to be destroyed, are going to be vanished. The splendor, the riches of this world, never to be recovered, judged by God. But the kingdom of heaven, given to us by our Savior, its riches, its glory. That kingdom is forevermore. What is it that occupies your time and your focus? What is it that you seek to pursue and to obtain? What is it that you fear you might lose or it be taken away from you? What is it that you have that if you lost, you would mourn? This is what our text is saying to us this morning. Our text is challenging us to put our focus on where it should be. Our text is challenging us to put our focus on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior who came to earth from heaven. Our Savior who was tempted in every way. Our Savior who was tempted by Satan during his temptation time to obtain the powers or the wealth or the things of this world apart from God, his Father. Our Savior who did not fall to the temptations and the seduction of Babylon the Great. Our Savior whose focus when he came was not of this world. It was not to obtain the world's power. It was not to obtain the world's cargoes and wealth. It was not to mourn the loss of a world that God has determined will perish. But his focus was the kingdom of heaven. His focus was to come and to die on the cross, and to pay for his people, and to be resurrected to everlasting life, so that his people could enjoy the riches and the wealth of his grace, so that they could dwell with him forevermore in the kingdom of God, a kingdom which will never perish, a kingdom which is forevermore, a kingdom that he alone can bring his people to, a kingdom that no one will ever mourn, for it is a kingdom that is forevermore. So what about our doomsday scenario? In the history of the world, collapse of nations and economies have happened on a smaller scale time and time again. As I stated at the beginning of this sermon, as you read predictors describing the economy and the debt and the world's financial situation, is this the doomsday scenario described in Revelation 18? We do not know if this will happen. We know that the Bible says that this destruction will happen, but is this the time for it? Is this the smaller scale or the larger scale described in Revelation 18? We don't know. But even if it is, even if it does, will you mourn? Or will you rejoice? Will you rejoice in the riches of God's grace that he has given you? Will you sing the song the angel describes? Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she has treated you. God has described for us in Revelation 18... things that have happened on a smaller scale throughout history, things which are yet to happen in a larger scale at the end of the world. We know that in the history of the world, economies and nations have collapsed no matter how powerful they once seemed to be. But the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus, is forevermore. And the riches of His grace, the mansions that He has for you and for His people in that eternal place in heaven above, is a place that is forevermore and will never, ever be taken from you. If the doomsday scenario happens, would you mourn? Or would you rejoice with the saints and the apostles and the prophets in heaven? The rejoicing of God's grace in our Savior. The tasting of His grace, which to the world seems small and insignificant. But the taste of heaven, that you can come forward and participate in this morning, identifying with Him who died for you, who gave up the world for your eternal salvation in heaven with Him. Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. Don't mourn on Babylon's Memorial Day, but rejoice with the saints in heaven of our Savior's victory, and that victory is yours. Amen. Father in heaven, we give thanks this morning for your grace to us in Jesus Christ. We are reminded again this morning of the seductions of this world, of the wealth and luxuries of this world that so many people pursue and devote their souls and lives to obtaining. Lord, we seek to find our security in ourselves or in our wealth or in what we have. But Lord, you have reminded us this morning that our hope is not in ourselves, but in our Savior. Grant us your grace, O God, to put our focus and thoughts on Him. Remind us this morning as we partake of this sacrament, of the taste of heaven that you have for us, that we are reminded that by your sign and seal, we belong to Him forevermore. That we know He has gone to prepare a place for us to be in heaven with Him forevermore, rejoicing over Him and our Savior. Grant us this knowledge. Grant us this focus. Enable us, O God, no matter how tempting it is, to devote our souls and hearts to pursuing Him and living for Him and not the things of this world. Grant us your grace and protection as we live for you. May we live out the life of our Savior for His glory forevermore. Amen.